Watchman's Teaching Letter, Volume 4, Various Topics. Watchman's Teaching Letter, Number 58, February 2003. From the 2003 Watchman's Teaching Letters, by Clifton Emmeheiser, read by Dan Adams. This is my 58th monthly teaching letter and continues my 5th year of publication. With this teaching letter, we will continue our walk through Daniel. This is not an effort to cover all of Daniel, but those parts which concern his prophecies. As I have pointed out before, the various unreal, debauched interpretations that have been promoted by various sources are simply preposterous and outrageous. Applauding Clifton here, I would add that there's probably nothing as serious as history, and prophecy must be about history, or it is fraud or foolishness, if not both. Therefore, Clifton is asking us to take a frank look at our beliefs, especially concerning the end times, to recognize that what the futurists and others have been peddling amounts to making something very serious into nothing more than a fairy tale. Repeat, history and prophecy are serious business. All clowns, please exit the stage before you are all thrown off, as the alignments between genuine prophecy and actual history are both striking and compelling enough evidence to indicate their seriousness. Were it not so, all of these efforts at understanding would be useless and futile, a complete waste of time. Obviously, it would be in someone's interest to keep the most important and serious matters from the attention of those who are the genuine and intended recipients of that message. The so-called experts on the subject of Daniel's prophecies simply do not follow the first principles for interpreting Bible prophecy. It should be pointed out, one must do a lot more than simply read the book of Daniel. One might read it 100 times, but if he doesn't branch out to other connecting evidence, he will never comprehend what Daniel is all about. With this lesson, we are going to branch out into those other areas. Once one becomes familiar with all the testimony, it will not be so easy for those unscrupulous manipulators and purveyors of falsities to engineer their subterfuge. To study Daniel thoroughly, much history and a wide area of geography are required. Not only that, but it is paramount we know who Scripture is talking about on every particular occasion. For instance, the name Darius is used at Ezra 4:5, Ezra 4:24, Ezra 5:5-7, Ezra 6:1, Ezra 6:12 through 15, Nehemiah 12:22, Daniel 5:31, Daniel 6:1 and 6 and 25 and 28, Daniel 9:1, Daniel 11:1, Haggai 1:1 and 15, Haggai 2:10 and Zechariah 1:1 and 7. In Zechariah 7:1. The problem we encounter is there are 4 different alleged men by the name of Darius. If we, by unfamiliarity, apply the wrong person to a particular passage, the result can definitely be catastrophic. Is there an incident where this has happened to get things all fouled up? Yes, there is. We will get to that later. Let's see who these 4 personages were. Do this, and you may be the only person that you know who knows that there are 4 different people in the Bible named Darius. 1. Darius the First, from 521 to 486 BC, known as Darius Hystaspes, or Darius the Great. 2. Darius the Second, 423 to 404 BC, known as Ochus, or Darius Nothus, Darius the Bastard. 3. Darius the Third, 336 to 330 BC, known as Codomanus, and 4, Darius the Mede. With this lesson, we are going to do a lot of quoting from various Bible reference books, commentaries, and other sources. While much of this information will be constructive in nature, other commentary will only lead us in the wrong direction and cause us to arrive at many erroneous conclusions. I have decided to quote both the beneficial and the detrimental data derived from these sources and let you see if you can determine the good from the bad as we go along. Inasmuch as we will be getting quite involved in some unusual areas of study, this should really stimulate our mental faculties. While I will be able to address some of the problems as we go along, other difficulties will have to wait until later lessons. Now let's try to differentiate between these four said individuals known to us in the Bible as Darius. Before finishing this issue, we will see just how dangerous a wrong identification can be. To separate these four different personages by the name of Darius, I will now quote from the Tyndale Bible Dictionary by Elwell and Comfort, page 355, on Darius the First. Darius the First, 521 to 486 BC, also known as Darius Hystaspes and Darius the Great. Darius I seized the throne of the Persian Empire after the death of Cambyses II. Although he was an Achaemenid, he was from a different branch of the royal family than Cyrus and Cambyses. I'm using the typical English pronunciations of both of these names. They didn't have a soft C back then. They were probably both Cyrus and Cambyses, but everyone says Cyrus. After Darius quelled several revolts, however, his power was firmly established, and he turned his attention to expanding the empire. His military campaigns extended Persian borders to the Danube River in the west and to the Indus River in the east, making him ruler of the largest empire the world had known. Greco-Persian conflict, which continued until Alexander the Great conquered the empire in 330 BC, began when Darius, we're still speaking of Darius the First here, launched two invasions of Greece after conquering Thrace and Macedonia. The first expedition was destroyed by a storm in the Aegean Sea. The second was defeated by the Athenians in the famous Battle of Marathon in 490 BC. An able administrator, Darius did much to promote trade and commerce. He instituted a uniform system of weights and measures. During his reign, a canal from the Nile River to the Red Sea was completed, and a sea route from the Indus River to Egypt was explored. During Darius's reign, Persian architecture developed a style that continued until the end of the Achaemenid dynasty. Darius built at Babylon, Ecbatana, and Susa, his capital. A great royal road was constructed from Susa to the Lydian capital of Sardis. His greatest architectural accomplishment was the founding of Persepolis, a new royal city to replace the emperor's residence at Pasargadae. Darius also allowed temples to be built in Egypt and in Jerusalem, continuing Cyrus's policy of respecting the religious customs of his subjects. Darius I is the Darius king of Persia mentioned in the books of Ezra, Haggai, and Zechariah. Ezra 5:6 records that Zerubbabel and Jeshua, with the help of Haggai and Zechariah, finished rebuilding the temple. Zerubbabel and Jeshua had returned to Jerusalem under Cyrus II about 538 BC, Ezra 2:2. That must have been the sixth year of Darius I, 516 BC, since the sixth year of Darius The second would certainly be too late. That identification was confirmed by the discovery of a Babylonian document dated June 5, 502 BC, which refers to Tetanai as the governor of beyond the river, end quote. Though problematic, the previous quotation should give you some idea of who Darius I was. For Darius II, we will quote again from the Tyndale Bible Dictionary by Elwell and Comfort, page 356, under Darius II. Darius II, from 423 to 404 BC, also known as Ochus, his real name, and Darius Nothus, Darius the Bastard. Darius II was the son of Artaxerxes I, Babylonian concubine. Therefore, he was a half-Babylonian and half-Persian. Before he became emperor, Ochus was a satrap, a governor, of Hyrcania, a region on the southwest coast of the Caspian Sea, around where Azerbaijan would be today. In 423 BC, his half-brother, Sogdianus, or Sikidianus, killed Xerxes II. Ochus then seized the throne from Sogdianus, murderer of Xerxes, whom he, Ochus, executed, and adopted the name Darius II. His reign was plagued with revolution and corruption. His own full brother, Arsetius, revolted soon after Darius seized the throne, and Darius had him executed. After an alliance with Sparta was formed against Athens, Persia joined the Peloponnesian War. Several successful military campaigns succeeded in recovering the Greek coastal cities of Asia Minor and breaking Athenian power in the Aegean area. Darius II died in Babylon in 404 BC, the year the Peloponnesian War ended. It may be helpful to remember that Darius Ochus, the bastard, died the year the Peloponnesian War ended, close to the end of the 5th century BC. For Darius III, I will need to quote from another book, as he is not mentioned in most of them. I got this information from the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, volume A through D, page 770. Darius III, 336 to 330 BC, known as Codomanus, according to Justinus, his book 10:3:3, he suffered repeated defeats against Alexander's Macedonian armies, Granicus in 334, Issus in 333, Gaugamela, 331, and was finally murdered by Bessus, satrap of Bactria, end quote. Finally, we come to the tough one, Darius the Mede. For him, we will return to the Tyndale Bible Dictionary by Elwell and Comfort, page 356. Darius the Mede, unknown in historical documents of the period of the Babylonian and Persian empires, this biblical Darius has been identified with several known figures. The most important efforts have identified Darius the Mede as another name for Cyrus II, Cyrus the Persian, Daniel 6:28, for Cambyses II, Cyrus's son, for Gubaru, who was governor of Babylon in the province beyond the river during the reign of Cyrus II and Cambyses II. According to the book of Daniel, Darius the Mede received the kingdom when Belshazzar, king of Babylon, was slain, Daniel 5:30 and 31. Darius was about 62 years old, verse 31, and was the son of Ahasuerus, by birth a Mede, 9:1. Daniel never suggested that Darius was king of Media or of the whole Persian Empire, only of the Chaldean Babylonian kingdom. The Babylonian Empire included Mesopotamia, Babylonia and Assyria, and Syro-Palestine, Syria, Phoenicia, and Palestine. In the Persian Empire, that huge area became known as the province of Babylon, Mesopotamia, and beyond the river, Syro-Palestine. Daniel also recorded that Darius appointed governors in the kingdom. According to Nabonidus Chronicle in the Persian verse account of Nabonidus, two cuneiform documents found from Nabonidus' reign, Nabonidus was in Tama until Cyrus's invasion of Babylonia. While he was away, Nabonidus entrusted the kingship to his son Belshazzar. On October the 12th of 539 BC, Babylon fell to Ogbaru, general of Cyrus's army. Cyrus entered Babylon on October 29th, 539 BC, and appointed a person named Gubaru, governor of Babylon. Gubaru then appointed other governors under him. General Ogbaru died on November 6th, 539 BC, not long after these things happened. Darius the Mede was probably a subordinate of Cyrus, who was made ruler of the realm of the Chaldeans after Belshazzar, and who could have been considered a king by his subjects. Accordingly, the reign of Darius, Daniel 6:28, should be understood as simultaneous with that of Cyrus, not as a preceding reign. Thus, Gubaru was made governor of Babylon immediately following the reign of Belshazzar, and he appointed governors, as did Darius the Mede. There is no record of Gubaru's age, nationality, or ancestry. He may well have been a 62-year-old Mede whose father was named Ahasuerus. Many Babylonian texts record that Gubaru was governor of Babylon and the province beyond the river for about 14 years, from 539 to 525 BC. The documents attribute much power to him. His name is a final warning to officials who might disobey the laws. In documents that mention Cyrus II or Cambyses II, crimes in Babylon are stated to be sins against Gubaru, not against Cyrus or Cambyses. The province of Babylon and beyond the river was the richest and most populous in the Persian Empire, encompassing many nations and languages. For a powerful governor of such a region to be called king by his subjects seems only natural. The case for Gubaru is admittedly circumstantial, but it remains the best solution to the problem identifying Darius the Mede. Until further evidence comes to light, it is safe to assume that Darius the Mede, king over the realm of the Chaldeans, was actually Gubaru, the known governor of that realm. End quote. Special note. While there is indeed an historical Gubaru, it will be shown later that Gubaru and Darius the Mede were two different individuals. But that still leaves us with four men by the name of Darius to deal with, and we dare not get them mixed up. Scripture does not waste words identifying who it is speaking about. In churchianity, the futurists and praetorists are so intent on convincing people of their perverted views that they never explain about the four different people named Darius. The question of Darius must be resolved. Unless the issue of Darius is settled, we cannot claim to understand the Book of Daniel. The fact that the mainstream clergy doesn't address the matter is substantial evidence that most of them simply don't know, or don't care to know. Before we are through with this study, we will have tangible testimony to strengthen our position. Once we become aware of the four different leaders known as Darius in our Bible, we can then rectify the chronology of Daniel's 70 weeks, 490 years, and account for every one of them, and there won't be 7 years left over for a super-duper-pooper so-called future Antichrist. I will now repeat a statement which the futurist Tim LaHaye made in his Revelation Unveiled, page 135. Verification of the exact dates is impossible, since the Medo-Persians were notoriously poor historians, end quote. As we shall see, the Persians were not as poor historians as LaHaye claims. We will next use some commentary by the Pictorial Bible Dictionary, edited by Merrill C. Tenney, published by the Southwestern Company, 1966, on Darius, pages 199 through 200. Darius, a common name for Medo-Persian rulers. Numerous cuneiform tablets contain the reference to them, especially to Darius Hystaspes. Darius the Mede seems to have been the same as Gubaru, who was an official in the army of Cyrus, probably governor of a Persian province north of Babylon. His name is possibly a translation of Darius. He was the son of Ahasuerus, hence a Mede, Daniel 9:1. Belshazzar's notable feast, Daniel 5, ended in the destruction of the Chaldean Empire, and Darius the Mede, Gubaru, became ruler of the province by appointment of Cyrus at the age of 62. Daniel tells us that Darius the Mede was not heir to the throne, but nevertheless was made king, Daniel 5:31. He seems to have exercised authority contemporaneously with Cyrus. Cuneiform records list Nabonidus as the last king of the Medes, the last king of Babylon. So Belshazzar, his son, was ruling in Babylon while his father was away at war. Darius reorganized the government and gave Daniel a high place, Daniel 6:1-3. Evil princes set out to destroy him, Daniel 6:4-9. Jehovah, Yahweh, rescued Daniel from the lions and thus advanced his cause before the king, Daniel 6:10-23. Darius the Mede seems to have ruled for only a brief time, Daniel 10:1, Daniel 11:1. Darius Hystaspes was the greatest of the Persian rulers. Cambyses, the son of Cyrus, continued the conquest which his noted father had started. He did not, however, recognize the claims of the Jews, Judeans, Josephus Antiquities 11:1-2. In one of his campaigns, he was defeated by the Egyptians and on his way home committed suicide. Taking advantage of the king's defeat, a pretender named Smerdis was made king by zealots of the Magian religious sect, Zoroastrians, and he ruled 1 year, Josephus 11:3-1, until slain by Darius and other princes. Darius, having had himself made king, he was a collateral descendant of Cyrus, who, according to tradition, had selected Darius to succeed him. Between the reign of Cyrus and that of Darius, the Jews, Judeans, had been mistreated, and work on rebuilding Jerusalem and the temple stopped, Ezra 4:1-6. An appeal was made to Darius, who made search and discovered the original decree of Cyrus favoring the Jews, Judeans. Under his lenient reign, they restored the walls of the city and rebuilt the temple, Ezra 6:1-15. Darius was beset by rebellious subjects and spent much time in putting these down. He reorganized the government and extended its boundaries. He conducted many magnificent building enterprises and encouraged men of letters, especially the historians who extolled his prowess, Josephus Antiquities 11:1-3. The Greeks never yielded to him, however, and after some futile campaigns, his forces were overwhelmed in the Battle of Marathon 490 BC. Darius planned another campaign against the Greeks, but rebellion in Egypt interfered, and death in 486 BC ended his career. He was succeeded by Xerxes I, a grandson of Cyrus the Great. Jew should read Judean throughout. End quote. Special note, again the name Gubaru is mentioned, and as we will see later, he is not Darius the Mede. While problematic, this last reference helps round out our perspectives of Persian history and her rulers during and after the time of Daniel. For additional evidence on Cyrus, I will quote from the New International Bible Dictionary, based on the New International Version, page 247. Cyrus, the son of Cambyses, king of Anshan. With the rise of Cyrus began the renowned Persian Empire that was to continue until the coming of Alexander the Great. 7 years after the death of Nebuchadnezzar, Nabonidus ascended the throne of Babylon. In 555 BC, he was destined to be the last ruling sovereign of the Neo-Babylonian Empire, for in the highlands of Iran, another kingdom was forging out its own program of conquest. When the Medes and their king, Astyages, were defeated by Cyrus, the realm of Persia began to assume threatening proportions. Cyrus himself announced his genealogy. I am Cyrus, king of the hosts, the great king, king of Babylon, king of Sumer and Akkad, son of Cambyses the king, king of Anshan, the grandson of Cyrus, the great-grandson of Tiepes, king of Anshan. In the same inscription, Cyrus proceeds to relate how the city of Babylon opened its gates to him without resistance, confirming the biblical account recorded in Daniel 5 when Darius, acting as vice-regent for Cyrus, took the city of Babylon in the name of Cyrus the Great. The Neo-Babylonian Empire was in no condition to resist the advance of Cyrus and fell easily into the hands of the Persians. The Old Testament sets the framework of reference against the backdrop of Belshazzar's impious feast, Daniel 5:1-30. Cyrus entered Babylon on October 29, 539 BC, and presented himself in the role of the liberator of the people. He allowed the images of the gods to be transported back to their original cities and instituted a kindly policy of repatriation for captive peoples. His policies of moderation naturally extended to the Hebrews, whom he encouraged to return to Judea to rebuild their temple. 2 Chronicles 36:22-23, Ezra 1:1-6. Isaiah refers to Cyrus as his, that is, the Lord's, anointed, Isaiah 45:1, end quote. As you can begin to see little by little, we are gathering much of the evidence for this period. Also, I am trying to present this in a coherent manner as the data keeps building on top of that presented ahead of it. Our next source on Daniel will be the Ravel Bible Dictionary, page 276. Daniel, Book of, the book, divides naturally into two sections. Chapters 1 through 6 relate events which took place in the Babylonian and Persian courts. Chapters 7 through 12 report apocalyptic visions given to Daniel. Date and authorship. Liberal scholars view Daniel as a legendary figure, even though he is named three times in his contemporary Ezekiel, Ezekiel 14:14-20, and Ezekiel 28:3. They see the book of Daniel as a composite work written about 165 BC, that is, after the events prophesied in Daniel's visions. Conservative scholars, however, view Daniel as a historical person and believe the book was completed by Daniel before his death about 532 BC. Conservatives believe that God revealed future events through the prophets, so the accuracy of Daniel's predictions is hardly evidence of a late date. They also note that many of the historical problems cited by 19th century critics have been resolved by archaeological finds. which have demonstrated how accurately the author of Daniel portrays details of empire history and court life. Belshazzar, long scoffed at as an invention, has been identified as the son and co-regent of Nabonidus. He offered to make Daniel third highest ruler in the kingdom, Daniel 5:16, because he himself was second. The change in punishment from fire, Daniel 3, to lion's den, Daniel 6, reflects a change from Babylonian to Persian practices. Darius the Mede has not yet been identified by cuneiform records, but Darius was a title assumed at coronation, just as Roman emperors became Caesar upon accession. The name might well be an alternative title of Cyrus himself, or perhaps a reference to a man named Gubaru, whom secular sources identify as ruler under Cyrus of Babylon and the region beyond the river. End quote. A further interesting note on page 277 says, note, Daniel was probably about 13 years of age in chapter 1. When cast into the lion's den, chapter 6, he was in his 80s. End quote. Special note, again the name Gubaru is mentioned, and again he is not Darius the Mede. More information on Cyrus and Darius the Mede is found in Nelson's New Illustrated Bible Dictionary, page 331. Persian cuneiform inscriptions show that Cyrus II the Great was the successor of Belshazzar. One possible answer to this problem is that Darius the Mede was the army general sent by Cyrus to conquer Babylon. It is also possible that Darius the Mede was an alternative name or title used by the writer of the Book of Daniel for Cyrus the Persian himself. Indeed, in Daniel 11:1, the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, has Cyrus instead of Darius. Thus, quite legitimate translation of Daniel 6:28 might read, Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius, that is, the reign of Cyrus the Persian, New International Version margin. Such a logical and reasonable interpretation silences the skepticism about this passage in the Book of Daniel. End quote. Special note, no, Cyrus the Persian was not Darius the Mede either. From Unger's Bible Dictionary, page 241, we read the following. Darius the Mede, Daniel 5:31, Daniel 6:1, 6, 9, 25, and 28, Daniel 9:1, Daniel 11:1, is to be identified with Gobryas, Gubaru, the governor of Babylon under Cyrus. Darius is most certainly another name for Gubaru. That he was styled king is to be regarded as not inaccurate in describing a man of Gubaru's authority, since he was Amel-Pihate of the city or province of Babylon, nor does this usurp the absolute sovereignty of Cyrus. That is, moreover, it is not necessary to discover cuneiform tablets dated according to the years of Darius' reign in order to substantiate the biblical dating. These biblical datings of Darius' reign from Daniel 9:1 and 11:1 are exactly paralleled by the datings of Belshazzar's reign, Daniel 7:1, 8:1. This conclusion is warranted since it is now known that the author of Daniel took into consideration Belshazzar's secondary position in the Babylonian Empire. See Daniel 5:7, 16, and 29. Behind these statements is the implication that Darius was not the supreme ruler of the Persian Empire. Daniel 6:28 portrays Daniel as prospering not in the consecutive reigns of two independent sovereigns, but during the reigns of two contemporary rulers, one being subordinate to the other. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian, Gubaru Gobryas, it is now known, appointed governors in Babylon after the fall of the city, and Cyrus departed for Ecbatana before the end of the year. The only possible ruler of Babylon was Darius, since Cambyses did not reign as sub-king until the following year, being removed from his honorary position after a few months, while Gubaru continued as governor of Babylon and the district beyond the river for some years. Since the territory ruled by Gubaru was coextensive with the Fertile Crescent and included many different peoples and races, the description on Daniel 6:25 through 28 of Darius' decree is explainable. Neither does the decree of Darius in Daniel 6:7 and 12 exclude the possibility of its being a subordinate ruler. Darius' second decree, Daniel 6:26, which was published to annul the first decree, was addressed to all the dominion of my kingdom, not the entire Persian Empire, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, can be rendered in all the land, Daniel 6:25, and does not claim universal sovereignty for Darius. Moreover, Gubaru was doubtless the son of Absuris, and also a Mede. End quote. Special note, while there was an historical Gubaru, he was not Darius the Mede. The interesting thing in the above commentary from Unger is the fact that Daniel was third in both the kingdoms of Babylonia and Persia. Before the fall of Babylon, the order of rulership was 1. Nabonidus, 2. Belshazzar, and 3. Daniel. After the fall of Babylon to Persia, the rulership was 1. Cyrus, 2. Darius the Mede, and 3. Daniel. You can see from this, although Daniel's two superiors were displaced by the fall, Daniel maintained his position as third in the kingdom. By the way, that was no small office. One more piece of interesting evidence should be mentioned concerning Darius Hystaspes, or Darius I, and a usurper claiming to be Smerdis. From Unger's Bible Dictionary, page 239, we read, Darius Hystaspes, king of Persia, 521 to 486 BC, Ezra 4, 5 and 24, Ezra 5, 5 through 7, Ezra 6, 1 and 12 and 15, Haggai 1, 1 and Haggai 2, 10, Zechariah 1:1 and 7, Zechariah 7:1, the restorer of the Persian Empire founded by Cyrus the Great. Cyrus was succeeded in 529 BC by his son Cambyses, who possessed his father's adventurous spirit without his commanding genius. He added first Phoenicia and Cyprus and afterward Egypt to the new empire, but failed in attempting to carry out impracticable schemes of conquest in North Africa and Ethiopia. Encouraged by these disasters to Cambyses, a pretender seized the throne, claiming that he was Smerdis, the deceased younger son of Cyrus, who had not long survived his father's death. Cambyses, despairing of success against the usurper, put an end to his own life while on his homeward march. The impostor, after a reign of a few months, was dethroned by Darius, the son of Hystaspes, in 521 BC, who headed an insurrection of the nobles against him. Darius was apparently the rightful heir to the throne, being descended collaterally with Cyrus from the ancient royal line of Persia. End quote. Both Babylon and Persia kept excellent records. Contrary to the futurist Tim LaHaye, the Babylonians and Persians kept accurate records. The popular and critical Bible Encyclopedia and Dictionary by the Reverend Samuel Fallows, 1920, makes superb comment on this in Volume 1, pages 486 through 487. Fortunately, We are not dependent upon the statements of second or third-hand historians for a description of the fall of Babylon. We have the records both of Nabonidus, the reigning and vanquished king, and of Cyrus, the conqueror. Though somewhat fragmentary in some places, they nevertheless furnish us with a reasonably good picture of that momentous event. Nabonidus' own record will be cited first. Cyrus' own cylinder gives us a no less wonderful story. This sets out by assuring the reader that Cyrus was thoroughly imbued with the idea that he was a man of destiny. These two records of the capture of Babylon from two different sources, one might rightfully say from two opposing forces, present a marvelous harmony. They unite in the statement that the city made no resistance to the entrance of the army of Cyrus, neither were there any objections to his immediate assumption of control, unless Nabonidus' own record, we interpret the guard about the temple of Esaglia as a minor siege. On the other hand, the population of the city, Babylon, seems to have welcomed their new conqueror, deliverer, and ruler as a friend and benefactor. End quote. Although I did not quote the contents of these chronicles here, you can see that the author was quite complimentary of them. If you have followed the evidence from these various sources thus far, you may be somewhat convinced that Gubaru is identical to the Darius the Mede of Daniel. I can assure you that almost every Bible reference takes that position. There is other evidence that Darius the Mede was the uncle of Cyrus, thus not Gudaru, and to deal fairly with the subject, we must present and consider it. For that, we go to the Jesenius Hebrew Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament on the words number 1867 and number 1868. We find the following. Darius, plural noun of some of kings of Media and Persia. One of Darius the Mede, Daniel 6:1 and 9:1. This was Kyaxares the second, the son and successor of Astyages, the uncle of Cyrus, who reigned over Media between his father and nephew from 569 to 536 BC. Cyrus, however, so administered the kingdom for him that he is only mentioned by Herodotus. Frequent mention is made of Kyaxares by Xenophon, and Josephus says, correctly of Darius the Mede, something in Greek. The various opinions of interpreters and historians are collected and true opinions brought to view by Bertold in comment on Daniel page 842, end quote. Though caution is advised with these early historians, the above account seems somewhat reasonable. It would appear logical that Cyrus would appoint someone of his trusted family to such an important post in order to manage the affairs of the newly conquered area of Babylon. Inasmuch as Cyrus was of a royal line, his uncle Kyaxares, or Darius the Mede, evidently must have been also. If truly Kyaxares was Cyrus' uncle, an age of 62 for him is not unreasonable. Daniel 5:31. With this evidence, we can only conclude that Darius the Mede was not Gubaru, as many of the Bible commentaries claim. Although Darius the Mede and Gubaru are two individuals, they are both important leaders in Persian history. We will look further into the historic testimony concerning Gubaru in the next lesson. Among the many topics we must address, we must devote attention to Nehemiah's mission to the city and its date, the rebuilding of Jerusalem, Ezra's second return to Jerusalem. Also in the next lesson, we will show a time chart of the various Persian kings from Cyrus to Alexander the Great's overthrow of that great empire. In addition to that, I will try to lay out a timeline for the major events during that period. Another interesting factor should be mentioned concerning Nebuchadnezzar's family line. I will use the 1980 Collier's Encyclopedia, Volume 15, page 628, under the topic Media for that purpose. The pact between Cyaxares and noble Palasar was sealed near Nineveh by the marriage in 613 BC of noble Palasar's son Nebuchadnezzar to Cyaxares' granddaughter. End quote. The motive for all this Persian background is to prove beyond all doubt that every one of Daniel's 70 weeks, 490 years, were used up, and that the futurists don't have a leg to stand on for their so-called future 7 years of tribulation. It ain't gonna happen that way, folks. You've been had. I might also point out that in the Septuagint on Daniel 11:1, the name Cyrus is used instead of Darius the Mede. Also, in some versions of the Bible, Daniel 11:1 is totally omitted. Yet in other versions, Daniel 11:1 is placed at the end of chapter 10. While there seems to be confusion with this passage, other places containing Darius the Mede have no difficulty. We can't read Daniel alone. If one has the idea that he can read and study Daniel alone and comprehend his prophecies, he is terribly mistaken. Yet some try. In addition to studying Daniel, we must be familiar with Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, and Zechariah. In addition to the books of the so-called canon, there are also the apocryphal 1st Esdras, 2nd Esdras, and Ecclesiasticus, to name a few. Should you want to do a more thorough study of Daniel, I suggest you mark down all the scriptural references from this teaching letter and expand from there. Therefore, it might be advisable to keep this letter as a future reference guide for your own study, as it represents a very difficult topic to research. You may reach different conclusions with your own study than presented here, and should you have data that would contribute to the understanding of this topic, would you please be so kind as to share it with me? Surely we can all agree there is a lot of so-called experts spouting Daniel who haven't the slightest idea what they're talking about. Big mouth talkers, as usual. Afterthought on this lesson. I don't want anyone by any means to assume that all the quotations used in this issue are entirely accurate. Pointedly, there are many problems during that period which space does not allow to be addressed. For instance, there was not room to show that Nabonidus and his son Belshazzar were not of royal blood, as were Nebuchadnezzar and his son Avil-Marduk, that Nebuchadnezzar was not Belshazzar's real father, as stated in Daniel 5:2 and 11 and 18 and 22, but an Assyrian expression meaning a predecessor to the throne. Nor was it possible to mention all the intrigue and murder between Avil-Marduk to Nabonidus. This has been an effort to present all sides of biblical and secular history pertinent to the Babylonian and Persian empires in connection to Daniel. For anyone who wants to do further research on that period, I would highly recommend he obtain copies of the books History of the Persian Empire by A.T. Olmsted, Clash of East and West by Daisy Moore and John Bowman, and The 1949 Archaeology and the Bible by George A. Barton. End of Watchman's Teaching Letter number 58. Thank you for listening.